Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ramble Reacts. Newcastle United march into the quarterfinals of the League Cup after gubbing Manchester United. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm a jubilant Pete Donaldson.
Welcome one and all to Ramble Reacts. And a very warm welcome to Newcastle United fan Pete Donaldson.
Thank you for the warm welcome. It's like watching the championship squad of a couple of years ago taking on a really poor Manchester United side. What a great night of football. Really enjoyable.
Paul Dummett and Matt Ritchie.
Paul Dummett, Matt Ritchie, I don't know.
Emil Kraft well.
Got in. First match in about 50 odd years. I love it. I think it's about a year and a half since he last played. It's amazing.
James Perch back in the there field. Somewhere, presumably.
Perchino, very possibly, yeah, definitely.
Yes, Newcastle United, you have to say, humiliated Manchester United, and they got their revenge, Peter, for that final defeat in this competition last season. Yeah. Do you feel avenged? Is that the right...
I'd feel a lot more avenged if Manchester United personally delivered £2,000 into my bank account. But this is what I spent on the flipping ticket for the cup final. it was a really professional performance from a really patched up Newcastle United team. Gutted for Matty Target going off really early in the match, but it did mean that Miggy Almiron could come on and really turn Newcastle United into more of an attacking force, and it really paid dividends in the first half with two lovely goals.
Would you say that he was doing some nice driving runs, Jim?
I would say that he was doing some nice driving runs and some nice driving celebrations, and by all accounts, some bad driving. Because he has been banned, hasn't he? And that was what his celebration referenced, which is
weird.
Well,
I didn't know this. Because he did that celebration. He scored. Lovely goal. Mm. We'll get to Tino Livramento in a minute. He can't be forgotten. But he scored. And of course, you would have seen it. He sits down and then does a little steering wheel kind of thing with his hands. And I thought, okay, that means something. What was that about? And you immediately went,
We're in the driving seat, Newcastle United, I thought. But no, it was because Miggy Almiron repeatedly wouldn't tell the police who was driving his car and who was using a mobile phone in his car. So they said, well, you're not allowed to be driving anymore for 6 months.
Yeah. Does he know that's a bad thing?
Up yours to them then.
Yeah, but he's the least up yours kind of bloke, isn't he? His yeah. little face as he's going, you can't stop me driving now. But he's a very innocent chap, which is why yeah. when Jack Grealish said that thing, I thought maybe Jack Grealish had said, oh, I was driving like Almiron or something, you know, on a bad thing. But when Jack Grealish had that dig at him, which of course Grealish would subsequently apologise for, it was like, why are you having a go at Miggy?
Yeah.
He's such a harmless bloke.
Yeah, why are the police having a go at Miggy?
He's just having a little
drive around. He's got calls to make.
Hang on, you've taken this in a totally different
direction.
We don't
know who he's been phoning. Maybe he's phoning a charitable cause that he's supporting. Maybe he's saying, I've deposited £1,000 into your bank account, cancer research. We don't know that.
So, Jim, maybe the
police should leave off and Almiron should be able to drive monster trucks through Newcastle City Centre if he wants, all the while talking on three different mobile phones.
Well, as we know, Newcastle fans are not snitches, so he could get away with that.
That's a good point,
but Jim,
actually,
after that goal and that celebration in particular, do you think that the police will apologise to Miggy Almiron?
I think so. I hadn't thought of it like that. I thought maybe he'd been sent on a sort of speed awareness course and they'd all bonded so well. That was a little nod to them. They all had a sort of like a little heartwarming moment where they all learned a lot about themselves and each other. But yeah, who knows? Maybe the police will apologise. I think we should apologise to Lewis Hall as well, because I think that was the goal of the evening. Everyone seems to be talking about Almiron's. That Lewis Hall finish was brilliant.
Well, hang on, Jim. We haven't got to that yet.
Well, I'm
just talking about this.
I'm preempting
it in. He's bringing it in.
Stop it. To quote The Jam, stop apologising for the things you haven't done. Okay. there'll be plenty of time to apologise at the end of this show. But it is interesting that Liveramento made that great run for the first goal. He was in the side right back because Kieran Trippier was on the bench. And it's understandable that old Trips has got that position nailed down. But Peter, we mentioned in yesterday's pod on the Ramble that the Newcastle United squad is a little bit thin. But as is the way with English players and England hopefuls at the moment, right back, it's all the rosy. It's all absolutely fine.
We got loads of them. Yeah, he started his Newcastle United career when on the scant times he's been found on the pitch, he's looked like a class apart. Even defensively, to be honest, he's looked strong and he looks so assured in that berth. He never looks hurried. He never looks like he's gonna like lamp the ball up the field. He's always got like a little layoff in him. I love watching him play. I just don't get to do it very often because Kieran Trips is so very good. But I mean, it was just...
Does Trippier say that to me? He said, look, I know how it feels, son. All right. Carl Walker's ahead of me in England.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. Yeah. It's just really unfortunate. You'll get your chance, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's only 20 years old, Liveramento. And obviously, Kieran Trippier probably doesn't have that many seasons left in him. So the succession plan is there, isn't it? And that's very exciting for Newcastle and for England as well, really. Am I right in thinking, Pete, that Eddie Howe started with four fullbacks and obviously brought on a fifth in Trippier?
Yeah, just for a laugh. Yeah, pretty much.
Very Gareth Southgate.
But at that point, I think they're just like, right, let's bring Wilson on, let's bring Trips on. And just, I did think they were going for a bit of a rout at that point because they did look pretty classy. They didn't get their rout, though 3-0. I probably flattered Manchester United in the end because they just showed very, very little. And I think the first sort of 10 minutes, Hannibal should have had a second yellow card very easily. I don't think he didn't even get brought off at half time, did he? He was nailed on to be either sent off or brought off before 45, but Ten Hag sort of kept him going.
Well, there was no VAR, was there, across these matches? So,
but you can't VAR yellow anywhere, can you?
Exactly. I think he probably thought that'd be all right. He seems to be getting away with everything.
Will Joe Linton spend most of the time trying to lure him in to make it a foul? Yeah.
It's just super.
Deliciously.
Yeah. Well, so let's mention that second goal then a little bit more because Lewis Hall got it. Lovely finish, Jim Campbell, and when that goal goes in, the confidence, if there was any left in that Manchester United side, is really sapped out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's quite instructive as to how and why Man United lost that game as well. The finish is really good, obviously, not taking anything away from that, but how the ball gets to Hall in the first place, there's some kind of really shambolic play from Man United where they just look so easy to play against. And as good as Newcastle were, Joe Willock's goal was similar as well. They just sort of kind of sauntered up the pitch and just thought, let's have another one. Go on, I'll go on then. You know, I'll have another goal.
But as the confidence went from Manchester United, it seemed to sort of ramp up to Newcastle United. Now, we know that Newcastle have been such an improved side, of course, painfully obvious. And you saw the confidence in bucket loads against PSG.
Yeah.
Against Dortmund, another day they might have got a point. But it's there. We know it's there. They're a team that are enjoying themselves very much so. But, you know, when Joe Willock gallops forward and smashes that one in, it's just it's there. You can see it every single player. But for me, the incredible thing was is just before half time, the Newcastle United fans are shouting "Olé" with every part. They're cheering every part. It's not even a half time at Old Trafford. This is it's an utter piss take. You know, they were singing not long after that. Geordie boys taking the piss. You know, that is damning for Manchester United and the complete opposite for Newcastle United.
They played their part. I think the Newcastle United supporters. I think that's fair to say, Jim and Marcus. I think, but truly, like Manchester United were just beating themselves most of the time.
Yeah, and when the subs came on, it didn't really change anything, did it?
No. Well, Saka looked all right when the first 5 minutes, but then
There's a straw to clutch. I mean, look,
certainly is.
Nothing against Wan-Bissaka. I'm just saying that is, you know, if that's all it is, but. Ten Hag looks like a beaten man. It's quite damning for him. But just before we move away from Newcastle United and maybe stick the boot into Manchester United a little bit more, it bodes very well for Newcastle that their second choice right back comes in and shines. Yeah. He's really, really good. I mean, look at Paul Dummett. You know, Nick on Twitter, or X, should I say, says Paul Dummett's played 180 minutes over the last two games and ain't conceded a goal. One of those teams being Man City. He is the Geordie Maldini. fine. Let him dream.
Fine.
Let Nick dream. I don't know if that's Nick Pope himself, but perhaps. But again, you know, Dummett has come in there. You know, Sven Botman's injured. I know Manchester United didn't have a full strength side out, you would say. They still have a strong side. But Newcastle would have been the same. But again, those squad players come in and they're all like, we want a piece of this. It's buzzing. It's happening for them. Whereas you look at Manchester United, they've now lost five of their first 10 matches at home this season. That's the first time that's happened since 1930. They've lost eight in their first 15, which is their worst start since 1963. I mean, all these records and all these historical facts are just rolling off the tongue now with regards to Manchester United.
It feels like it hasn't been this bad since Ten Hag's first few games, where they were shipping goals and everyone was like, oh my God, this is going to be an absolute clown show for the whole time. And obviously, he steadied the ship a bit after that. But it does feel like it's at that sort of crisis point, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And Jim, well, then you think about that, though, that the start they made under Ten Hag, it was piss poor. But we knew it was bad. That's why Ten Hag came in, right? He was the hope that, you know, that they thought he was going to sort it out. So in a sense, he hadn't really got going. So he had room, he had time to go, right, let's fix this. And he did last season, really, by and large. You know, a Champions League spot, a trophy, good season, okay? Now it's reset and it feels almost, in some regards, worse. And therefore, it's tougher to fix, do you not think?
Absolutely, yeah. Because the structure is of his own making now, isn't it? Whereas, you know, in those first months in charge, he's kind of figuring out the lay of the land, changing things, you know, doing a bit of maintenance, a bit of weeding here and there. But essentially, his own ideas haven't worked for whatever reason. The players he's brought in are the players he's identified and that he's wanted. That also hasn't worked. The job is so monumental. I think it's just chewing managers up and spitting them out. And I think he's being gnashed as we speak.
Well, Manchester United fan Sam on Twitter said, get the bailiffs in, get rid of the lot.
Well, that's how it feels, isn't it? But we go through this cycle of it kind of feeling like that whenever we get to this crisis point.
Was it ever this listless though under the little Scandinavian man? Like, was it ever this listless? I mean, there was always something to kind of cling on to, but I don't remember it being quite so dark and dingy and just that it doesn't look like even the matches that they're winning, they just don't look very convincing. And like Ten Hag, like he's down as this big disciplinarian, but like he could, I think sometimes when you see managers on the touchline be completely not emotionless, but like have like a completely sort of blank expression about them.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want it to show too much. It puts me. It was a news story today on my favourite website, Newsround, on the BBC microsite for basically news for children. If you're in the US, and it said that cats have nearly 300 different expressions.
Oh.
And I think I've seen one expression from Ten Hag in the dugout this season. And
not it's a huge range.
Just not a huge range, which, you know, that's behind the chimpanzee, that's behind the cat, that's behind all of the most... I imagine a simple capybara would have more expressions.
Well, Peter, it reminds me of when Krusty the Clown walks into the agency in The Simpsons and he goes, but look at my range, shows them four photographs, two of which are exactly the same. You know, like it's Ten Hag is not having a good time. He looks lost. And it reminds me of exactly what you said, Jim, a few minutes ago, of when he first took over the club. He's looking around going, bleed Nora. What? Okay, what am I to do here? But like I said, that's at the start when you're right, okay, let me get my head around this. Now it's like flipping Nora. And the Newcastle United fans are singing, you know, sacked in the morning. The pressure is piling on. Now, I don't think he will be sacked, certainly not in the morning. If he is, then... the ramble curse continues, but of managers being sacked just after we've released podcasts. But, you know, if this continues, then I just, where do you, what do you do? I mean, again, the takeover talk to Jim Ratcliffe, you know, again, there's a lot of hope in that. But this, I just don't know. I just do not know. The Manchester United's win rate has dropped from 73% to 56%. Since they won the Carabao Cup last February, you know? And again, that last season, nobody was... I don't think anybody was going over the top about it. People were saying, that's a good, solid start. That's more like it. Now let's build. But I've compared Manchester United and Arsenal a little bit. This feels... You know, imagine if Arteta, you know, after last season, of course in the league, it was more impressive than what Manchester United did. But it feels like if Arteta after that season, this season, it went back to that just where no idea what we're up to since, you know, post Wenger. Now, obviously under Wenger, there was a little bit of that different from Manchester United, but the identity is not there. You're looking at the shirts rather than the players' performances, and this is Manchester United. It's just not happening. But it is happening for Newcastle United, and I'll tell you what, Peter, finalists last season, they'll be looking around at the teams in the hat for the Carabao Cup quarterfinals, they will fancy it.
Yeah.
Honestly, at the start of the match, when I saw the team come out, and obviously they played similarly kind of like understrength teams, a team against Man City reserves, who are obviously very good. And I just thought, you know what, maybe Howe is shuffling the pack and maybe Howe possibly doesn't want quite so deep a cup run. I think he wants to sort of obviously go it all in on the Champions League and then maybe see where they're at in the new year for maybe an FA Cup tilt. But I don't think they've faced quite such listless opposition as Manchester United, so they've almost kind of fallen into the next round by default a little bit with three
quadruple
absolutely
is on. The quadruple
it is
totally
on. It is totally
Pete
on.
Donaldson.
Correct.
Is there another
completely
side
agree.
that can do the quadruple? I don't think there is.
I think you're probably right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from
unless Liverpool are still there. No, because Liverpool aren't in the Champions League, are they?
Oh, that's right.
They can
do
a quadruple.
Quite right. Sorry, they can do a quadruple.
They can do the Danny Murphy quadruple, but they can't do the Jose Mourinho quadruple. Because the Community Shield's already done and dusted with.
I'm sure Newcastle will be on some warm weather training where they win a Saudi Cup or some nonsense.
Oh,
they
get a bye to the King's Cup final, which
yes,
will piss
course,
Cristiano Ronaldo off something massive.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm bored watching Newcastle.
The aforementioned Arsenal, Jim Campbell, are out of the Carabao Cup, beaten 3-1 by West Ham United. Did you see this coming? I didn't.
I was a little concerned it was a possibility. Now, I had I was offered a ticket to this game with my
Uncle Dave. £2,000.
Not for £2,000, no, for no pounds, with my Uncle Dave, who is a West Ham fan. And I was like, that's a real shame. It would have been great to hang out with him. And I've never been to the London Stadium. But obviously, I'm here doing React, so I couldn't do it. I am glad I did give that one a swerve, because I would have been in the West Ham end.
Is your uncle David Moyes?
No, he's not. Okay. That would have come up before if my uncle was David Moyes. But yeah, it was a pretty listless performance from Arsenal. I think they were very lackluster. And actually, to give West Ham credit, they played their game really well. You know, they knew they weren't going to have the majority of the possession, so they were happy to let Arsenal have it, pass it around, not do too much with it, squeeze the midfield, just fought a bit harder, and they took their chances really well. Kudus's goal was brilliant. Ben White's own goal was strange, and I've seen a lot of people say it's foul on the goalkeeper, and obviously Suchek is holding his shirt, so. Yeah, I mean, you can't do that. It is a foul on the goalkeeper. But at the same time, Ben White sort of does just really weirdly head it into his own net. So those two incidents are separate and equally baffling, really. But I think, when the dust settles, I'm not going to be that fussed about going out of the Carabao Cup. And I think Man United will feel the same.
That is a shame.
The thing is, we were finalists last year.
Uh-huh. It's rude.
Is that I am starting to get a little bit concerned about Arteta's record in knockout competitions, because it is something that we've not been particularly great at in the past few seasons. Now, obviously,
FA Cup finalist, was he not?
He won the FA Cup in his first season.
He won the FA Cup, yeah.
Well, but that was a while ago.
I'm right saying they were a finalist because they were there.
Well, you were technically right, yeah. But it is a growing concern about how kind of poor we are sometimes when the stakes are as high as they are in knockout football. And we've seen it a few times. Last season in the Carabao Cup, lost at home to Brighton. Obviously, Brighton are a good team, but the performance wasn't there. And it's often the case, the performances aren't there in knockout competition, and it is something that he's going to have to address sooner or later.
I thought West Ham, you said obviously that Arsenal had the majority of the possession. Obviously, West Ham had the majority of the goals. They were so good in that first half, Jim, that they went in 1-0, a goal to the good at the break without having a shot on target. That's what they can do for you. They make you put the ball in your own net. I mean, it was an odd own goal from Ben White. But it was a goal nonetheless. And then Kudos, as you say, scored a lovely one. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, we know he's got talent. I mean, for crying out loud, we love to mention that West Ham fan who went all the way to Ghana to see him play. Well, I tell you what, that's why he did that.
Yeah.
No one's been in touch with that, and I haven't heard any more about that guy. Maybe we're best not to know, actually.
Maybe he's friends with my Uncle Dave. Maybe he took the other ticket.
It was nice to see Declan Rice get a standing ovation from the West Ham fans. Yeah. I think it helped that they were, 2-0 up, was it, at the time?
You can do that when you're 2-0 up, I think.
A lot of them were standing and booing, which might have been confusing, I think.
Was there a bit of booing for Rice? Because it was reported.
Oh, no, there was a lot of booing every time he touched the ball. It wasn't from everybody, and obviously, you know, standing ovation and booing at the same time tells you exactly the scale of the mixed reaction, but there was booing.
Was it the Jordan Henderson Boo Boys, Jim? Do they go around?
I imagine there was some crossover, actually, with the Jordan Henderson Boo Boys and the Declan Rice Boo Boys. You just don't know the Boo Boys. They're not a loyal bunch, are they, by the nature of
it? The England Boo Band. I tell you what, David Ray enjoyed his tea, I bet, watching that. Lord alive. I mean,
the third goal?
Third goal, bit of the second. And even, to be honest, doing like a weird kind of crowd surf for the first was a lot of fun as well. I just think he had a mixed evening, would that be fair, Jim?
Yeah, I think the third goal had a kind of big deflection on it, and I think it'd be a little bit harsh to blame him too much for that. But I can't, as I said, say that he stood out as someone who had a particularly poor game, but I think the level of all of them just wasn't there, and it felt like they just weren't bothered about it. And you know, after such a good win at the weekend, the nature of a performance like that just is a little bit worrying. You don't want to see them switch off. And you know, as I've said, the Carabao Cup isn't going to be a priority, but I do think when you're trying to build an era, really, where you expect to compete and you expect to try and win things, you need to get into the habit of winning knockout games, as I kind of touched on earlier. And it's a frustrating evening. I don't think we've won it since 1992. I'd like to see us win it.
Really? That's an extraordinary stat. If it's correct, Jim. But the funny thing is, when you say, well, we need to get, you know, Arsenal need to get into the habit of winning knockout games, blah, 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 but you also said moments before that, well, it's not a priority. And I understand that those players who are coming in, like Ramsdale, they do want to impress. But there is that. I just, you know, on a night where you go in at half time, 1-0 down, it was a bit of a strange own goal, you know, their tails are up, da da da. It didn't surprise me if they're thinking, well, you know what, we're in the Champions League with this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Just subconsciously, I think teams switch off. I mean, you know, West Ham were you know, three defeats on the spin before this one, but you wouldn't have known that. They looked like the side who were in form, and the crowd were up and so on. And I'll tell you something, you know, they're a side who now know how to win knockout games. We saw that last season. And again, you look at the sides that are in the draw. West Ham will fancy this. Manchester City, who have dominated this competition, are not there. They've just knocked out Arsenal. And they haven't won a domestic trophy since, I think, 1981, if my memory serves. It's certainly in the early 80s when they won the League Cup. So, you know,
The
FA Cup might have been the year before. Right. They won, I think, in 1980. They won, but certainly in the early 80s. Was when they last won a domestic trophy, and a major domestic trophy, of course. So it's there. I mean, Liverpool are still there. You know, they got a good win, of course. In fact, we've got to mention Darwin Nunes' winner in that. It was like classic Darwin Nunes. The ball is swept over to him. The
first touch is absolutely abysmal.
It's laughable, the first touch.
It's like the ball made of butter, the way it's gone off his foot.
Exactly, it was him in a nutshell. Like, well, you just think, what is this guy doing? He then runs to collect the ball, then drags it back in and just hits this stunner over the keeper. It's like,
I'm Team Andy on this. He's going to be just the best player in the league, isn't he? He has to be from here. It's too delicious not to.
He's one of their most entertaining, certainly. So Liverpool, even though they've been playing some more fringe players, not Nunes, but one or two other fringe players, of course they would, and they are competing in you know, all the trophies that they're in, you would say, they'll be a force there. You know, Chelsea went through as well, but West Ham, you know, they've got a taste for the old trophies, Jimbo.
They do. What? I've got a feeling about the narrative, and I think the narrative is Chelsea winning the first available trophy. Because even like, whenever they've been full of chaos, as they have been so many times, even under Abramovich, they've won things, haven't they? And wouldn't it be the most Chelsea thing to win a trophy in this situation? They can spend the next year singing Champions of Carabao, we know what we are, or whatever. And I just got a feeling.
Gentlemen, the draw is happening, of course, as we are podding, and the first fixtures are up, and Fulham are away to Everton, which, I'll be honest, is a bit annoying. I wanted Port Vale at home.
Resurgent
on the table.
Everton. Resurgent.
I know. Tricky. They beat Burnley 3-0. I mean, this is the first time that Fulham were in the quarterfinals of the League Cup since 2004. It's a rare occurrence. Jim Campbell. But I'll tell you what, Peter Donaldson, I'd rather go away to Everton than away to Chelsea, or would I, actually? No, because Chelsea battered Fulham the other week. But Newcastle United are away to Chelsea, so you can go and watch the game.
They are, yes.
Live the other side of London nowadays, don't you?
Well, I'm it's all M25, isn't it? I can always drive round, can't I?
Pop myself in your big fancy car.
After the West Ham draw late doors, I'm really finding it hard to get the enthusiasm of sitting in the home end in any sort of London. And you know, I've done that before at Chelsea, and it's they're an objectionable lot.
Unbelievable. Well, Peter, Newcastle are away to Chelsea in the quarterfinal,
and it's good to see Andy. It's good to see Andy Cole drawing the balls as well. Good to see him back on top, looking very healthy, and pulling out Port Vale versus number one, which is Middlesbrough. It's
that's fun. You know, you're gonna have a team from outside the Premier League in the semi-final for sure.
Yeah,
I really wanted Fulham to get one or the other, if I'm honest.
Right,
maybe they will in the next round. But that's a good draw for Port Vale, though.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they wanted.
That's exactly what Oliver Arblaster would have wanted.
Or would they? Would they have fancied a glamour tie? Who knows, Jim? Who knows? They've got their eye on that semi-final. Liverpool at home to West Ham. So, if you are a Fulham fan, for example, you think Everton away. Okay, Everton are resurgent. It is winnable, though. Let's be honest. Mm. It is winnable. Chelsea and Newcastle, one of them will be gone. Liverpool versus West Ham, one of them will be gone. I'm telling
you, football works, mate.
Fulham could go out in the semi-final of this competition.
they absolutely could. You know what? They could go out as late as the final, Marcus.
Bugger off! Don't start.
Don't give them the dream.
My goodness, Peter. Thank you very much for listening to today's Ramble Reacts. Myself, Pete, Vish and Luke will be back on Friday for your listening pleasure. In the meantime, do find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And do not forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Petey.
Farewell, all.
And thank you, Carabao. See you soon.
Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.